Christmas is a busy time for a lot of us. It's filled with lots of activities. Maybe you have some traditions in your home or in your life, things that have been passed on to you, or maybe you've created some new traditions. My family and I have some of our own holiday traditions that we've already partaken of, and we're going to continue to partake of tonight. And as Christmas moves along, and we have Christmas morning tomorrow, and again, you may have your own traditions. One of the things that is increasingly becoming a tradition for a number of us do-it-yourselfers, and I'm not one of those, so I don't even know why I said us, because I'm not a do-it-yourselfer, but you go to a little website that we like to call Pinterest. How many of you are on Pinterest or ever go to Pinterest? Okay, like there have to be more of you than that. Some of you are on Pinterest right now, or you will be before I sit here tonight. If you don't know what Pinterest is, if you've been hiding under a rock or living in a cave somewhere, Pinterest is sort of an online social community bulletin board type thing where people can put activities and ideas for projects, for things that you can do around your home, and traditions. If you're going to go traveling, here are some ideas. If you want to bake something, here's some recipes. But one of the things that you'll also see are photos of people trying to accomplish things that other people have accomplished. And sometimes you'll see like a before and after kind of a thing where somebody creates something and they say, I could do that. And then you see the end result, and the end result doesn't look like what people were attempting to be able to make in the first place. If I was to try my hand at some of these things, I think I would probably end up with some of these. How many of you have ever tried a Pinterest project? Yeah? I don't know if your Pinterest projects have ever turned out like some of these that we see up here, where somebody has the best of intentions saying, I'm going to create something. It can't be that hard. If I follow the instructions, then what I expect to happen will come true, and the picture will look just like the original. And yet the reality is, our expectations don't always meet up with reality. And for some of us, we can relate to that. Perhaps this year you started off with a certain expectation or a hope for certain things to turn out in a particular way, and things didn't go that way. It's like a do-it-yourself project where you had the best of intentions, you had the picture in your mind of how things could go or should go, but then things don't wind up that way. And when that happens, we get anxious, we get frustrated, we worry, we blame other people, we might even blame God. And it steals joy from us when reality doesn't meet up to our expectations. And the reason why I know that that is so important for us at the Christmas time is because the exact same thing occurred 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born as a baby. If you look at the Gospel of John, it tells us that Jesus in the beginning, from the very beginning, is the Word of God, God's chosen means of communicating to us who He is and God's purpose and plan for you and for me and for the entire world. Jesus came as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God, the Son, from the very, very beginning, even before the world was created. And it says that He was God Himself. He is God Himself. It says, in Him was life, and that life has been the light of all mankind. And we see these lights here, and we could turn up as many lights as possible in here, and it wouldn't match the kind of light that Jesus came to bring to a darkened world. And it says that there have been people who've tried to understand this light. It says that in the Gospel of John, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and He was in the world, and although the world was made through Him, through the Word, through the light of the world, Jesus Himself, although the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. We could just read past that and miss the significance of that. For hundreds, even thousands of years prior to Jesus coming to the earth, people had an expectation of the Messiah coming to be a deliverer, perhaps to deliver them from their enemies, to deliver them from oppressive government, to deliver them from all their woes. And when Jesus came in the form of a baby, He didn't look like what they were expecting. The reality didn't match up with the expectations. And there was great disappointment. There were people who totally missed the significance of the miracle. And even though Jerusalem is about 5 miles from Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, there wasn't a large crowd of people that came out to see this baby who was going to be born, even though they knew the Old Testament prophecies of where this Messiah was going to be born. And when Jesus was born, it was a significant night for those who participated in it. But as Jesus grew, he came to people, and yet people didn't recognize him, and it says they did not receive him. And that word receive in that particular verse talks about the idea of seizing something or grabbing a hold of it or just putting your hope in something. That's the idea of receiving. There are people, when Jesus came to the earth, because he didn't look like what people expected, that people did not receive the message that God wanted to send to them. People did not grasp it. They did not grab a hold of it. And it makes me think of how at Christmas time, or perhaps throughout the year, when somebody gives you a gift, what are your options? You have two of them. You can receive it, or you can reject it. To not receive it is to reject it. Those are the only two options, right? And really, when we reject the gift, what we're really doing is rejecting the giver for whatever reason. And God sent us his very son to live among us, and yet sometimes God doesn't live up to our expectations or to the picture that we want him to look like. And as a result, many of us don't receive him. But verse 12 gives us a wonderful promise there in the Gospel of John, where it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." There were a number of people who did not receive and have not received him, but to those who did receive him, to those who've grasped the message, to those who've held on to it, to those who seized it, they have become children of God. Now, what does it mean to receive a gift? Well, here it tells us right there in the verse, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name. And so to receive the gift of Jesus is to believe in his name. It's not simply to believe that Jesus is a good man. It's not simply to believe that Jesus is a good teacher. To receive and to believe in Jesus is not to invite him to be on your team. To receive Jesus is not to ask him to be your co-pilot or your consultant or to be somebody who inspires you a couple times during the course of the year. And then you just do whatever you want the rest of the time, or I do whatever I want the rest of the time. To receive the gift of Jesus himself is to put your belief and your hope and your trust. And the idea of belief there is to, just as you sit down on a chair and believe and trust that it's going to hold you up, to believe in Jesus is to do more than to believe that he exists, but is to say, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Have you received that this Christmas season? Have you received the truth of who Jesus is into your life? To not receive it is to reject it. There's another word for receive in other parts of the New Testament, and that's also helpful to us to think about what it means to receive Jesus. It describes welcoming someone into your home, to warmly receive as you would a friend. And some of you are, during the holiday season, perhaps going to have people into your home. Maybe somebody's living in your home right now. And when that happens, perhaps you do like what a lot of us do, where you set up certain expectations of, okay, you can have access to these parts of the house, but you can't go over here. And you can't do these things here. And whenever we do that, we're essentially saying, we welcome you, sort of, right? We receive you into our home, kind of. But that's the idea that I think this idea of receiving is trying to get at. Meaning you can receive Jesus as your Savior, and many of us have done that. There was a position and a time in your life, a point in time that you can point to where you said, I received Jesus. I put all of my hope and trust in him. I believe that he is the Savior, and when I die, and we're all going to die, I'm going to spend eternity with him and have eternal life because I believe the promise of salvation through Jesus, that Jesus came as a substitute for my sins, and he gave himself on the cross for me, and I'm trusting that, not my good works, to save me. And many of us have done that, yet this idea of receiving and the sense of warmly welcoming means to continue to receive him, to continue to believe, to continue to put your hope and your trust in him for salvation, and never to rely upon your own works. It means to continue to believe in him and to warmly receive him into every area of your heart, just as you would warmly receive a guest into every area of your home where there's nothing off limits, saying, God, you can have this part of my life and this and this and this and this and this and this. That's what it means to receive him. Have you received him in that way? Have you received him as Savior? And have you received him as King? You have to start by receiving him as Savior. And the way that you do that is simply, you can do this in your own words, to say, Jesus, I acknowledge that you're the Son of God, that you came to live among us, that you came to die for my sins so that I might be forgiven and might spend eternity with you. So come into my life and I receive you and I put my trust in you. And if you do that, he has become your Savior and you have received him and you have the promise of eternal life. And after that, what happens very often is a lot of us turn life into a do-it-yourself project like we do with Pinterest, where we start going through a sequence of things to add on to what God has already done for us. And maybe you come from a faith tradition like that. Maybe you come from a faith tradition where there's a set of requirements and hoops you have to jump through and things you have to do in order to possibly, hopefully, maybe, fingers crossed, be accepted by God. The truth of the Bible is that unlike any other religion and any other faith, receiving Jesus as King is not about what you do for God. It's not about your accomplishment, but it's about what God has done for you and about Jesus' accomplishment. Jesus fulfilled the one and only requirement necessary for a person to become part of his family, to become a child of God. Jesus fulfilled all of the steps for us, and there's really only one step then for us to take, and that's to receive him. The step is in Acts 16, which says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And all of us need to be saved. The fact that Jesus came as a Savior doesn't mean that all will receive him. God doesn't force anybody to receive him. God doesn't force anybody to receive him as Savior or as King. It's a choice that we need to make, to receive him as our King. Have you received him? If you have not, let today be the day. The consequences of not receiving Jesus as your Savior and as your King are dire. Eternal separation from God. God doesn't want anyone to experience eternity apart from him. He sent Jesus so that we could all be a part of his family. And he's giving you the opportunity today to receive that gift, to say yes to the invitation to have Jesus come into your life to save you. And you can do that. And past that, it's a chance for those of us who've received Jesus as Savior to say once again to God in our own way, to say, God, you have access, free and unfettered access to every area of my life. I receive you as my King. You're my Savior. You're my King. Have reign over all of it. Have you received him? Let today be the day that you receive him as your King. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make it so much more simple for us than we could ever imagine. We tend to complicate things. We like to add steps and things that we can do to hopefully maybe earn our way to you. Yet we believe that your word is true that says that we are not saved by our good works. We're not saved a result of just good fortune or good luck or being born into the right family. The only way to salvation is through your Son. He is the way and the truth and the life. And when Jesus came to the earth, he was the final word that you wanted to give to all of us as to the way to salvation and the way to eternal life. And oh God, I pray that today would be the day for salvation, for people to receive you as their Savior. And I pray that today would be the day that those of us who have received you as Savior would also make you the King over the throne of our heart, where you have access to every part of our life, that there's no area that's off limits, that we warmly welcome and receive you. Oh God, we pray that this holiday season, we would not rush through it and miss the message of Christmas that was wrapped up and connected to this baby who changed everything and who brought peace and hope and life and light into a darkened world. We pray that you would shine your light into the dark world in which we live. And we pray that you would allow us who have received you as our Savior and as our King to be light to those around us. Not because it's our light, but it's your light shining through us. There is salvation, God, and no one else. So we put our hope and our trust in you, and we say thank you for sending your Son. You didn't have to do that, but you did. Your Son didn't have to die, but he did. Thank you for making it possible for us to have the best gift of all in your Son, Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.